going to try to be short here tonight, but try to say a whole lot. And, man, wasn't that a great message last night? Boy, Brother Harwood, he really delivered. Now, he delivered, I was telling Pastor Matt, I was telling him, I said, you know, the pastor was really led of the Holy Spirit to have him preach last night. I know he's led of the Spirit all the time, but he led of the Spirit real good last night because Brother Harwood gave you a pastor's view on faith promise. Amen? And I can't do that. I really can't. I'm not a pastor. I'm not like Brother Keenan and Brother Harwood are. And you need to hear it from more than just Pastor Matt and Pastor Mike Keenan. You need to hear it from other pastors and see how God has blessed their ministries and their lives through faith promise. Amen. And boy, didn't you see it? What was there, 30-some Filipinos here and 30-some total people from a church up there? And I mean, that's all built on faith promise. He started out in Canada, I think Pastor Matt was telling me, with 12 people in a basement or something up there. And the first meeting he had was a mission revival. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm the worst one right here tonight. I used to be very suspicious of all that, so I'm a suspicious person. But I'll tell you what, I like to get on the train when she's going down the track, too. I like to get on something that works. And faith promise works. It doesn't just work for missions. It works for you. You know why God has you tithe? You think God needs your money? God don't need your money. You know why God has you tithe? It's for you. You ever notice you get your finances in order once you start tithing? And when you start giving a faith promise, then you really get them in order. Amen. You start paying attention instead of throwing money away on 15 Cokes every day and all that junk. I mean, then you say, man, I gotta buckle down, man. I want to help somebody get saved around the world. All right, Romans 12, verse 1 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I like this. Which is your reasonable service. That's just reasonable. And be not conformed to this world. Boy, if we would obey that. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. See how he put that in there? Just do it simply. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians, and you all know this, you've heard this, 1,000 preachers probably in your life preach this one verse, 2 Corinthians 9. And look at verse 7, and then we'll pray and we'll get into this. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Now I hear people say, well, you shouldn't give if you got to give it grudgingly. No, you need to get the grudgingly taken care of and give. Not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Pastor Matt, would you pray? Now, just for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on God loveth a cheerful giver. And, you know, your journey to fulfill this verse is different than mine. Some of you are raised in church. You was raised on giving. And I wasn't raised that way. We, by fallen nature, we're cheap, we're stingy, and we're selfish. Amen. Amen. Give me an amen on that. You all know that's true. If you get a victory over this old nature, it'll be that new man shining through. The one point of the most important thing is 2 Corinthians 9:7 is where it says, purposeth in his heart. The problem is our hearts. We get stingy down of our heart. Now, we can look very charitable and all that stuff on the outside, but when it gets down into the heart, that's another ball game. Amen? You need to give not just so everybody can see you, but you need to give to get a victory over that old man on the inside. You know, my story was make all you can make, keep all you make. In business, it's dog eat dog. I was going to University of Kentucky Business College down there. I'll tell you, man, when I went to business college, the computer that we used in 1971, Pastor, was about there to there to wall. It had key punch. You had to go in and punch those key punch cards and then go in and feed it into the computer, and it would give it commands. Anybody ever seen one of them things? You had to actually learn computer languages, Fortran, COBOL, BASIC, and all those different languages before you could actually run a computer. It was a whole lot harder than taking your little cell phone out and punching one of those little apps on there, amen? It was a whole different ball game. So what I'm trying to say is when I was in business, I was tight, buddy. And I'm ruthless in business. I mean, I'm worse than Brother Matt is about road rage. When I am going to win, I'm going to win. Amen. I am going to win one way or another. I had a distributorship business. I'd mess up all my competition stuff and everything. Man, they threatened to kill me and all kinds of things. I was going to win. I was going to make money, man. And I made money. And I believed in making money and taking what I got and taking what you had too. Amen. I believed in that. When I was in business, I was ruthless. I mean, that's what business is. It's dog eat but dog. That system made me money. I mean, I made a lot of money back in the 70s. But after getting right with God and many sermons, giving is where cheerfulness came from. I mean, I got right with God in a lot of areas when I surrendered to the Lord. But I'll tell you what, that didn't fix everything. It took me a long time to get this giving thing down. I'll guarantee you, man, I'd hear preachers preach that, and I would cut them off. Amen. I just didn't want to hear it. I mean, I just sat there just like stone face. I would reject them. And the reason I was rejecting my stone face is because I never had no cheerfulness in my heart. Now, the first thing that a preacher pointed out to me one time was in salvation. Salvation, John 3:16, basic verse that probably everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you see, love and giving goes together. That's God's first lesson to you and I. If you love, you give. Christianity is not about taking. I'm telling you, folks, you're crazy if you think you're going to get ahead. I tell you, you know why a lot of people fall out of church? I'll tell you exactly. I watch them. A preacher will preach on giving, of course, or a preacher on faith promise or something like that. They'll get home, get across a dinner table, and yak, 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 all that preacher preaching for his money and everything. He don't keep the money. He gives it away. Amen? And they just keep doing that, and they get more and more bitter, and they get upset, and then they get to picking, and they try to find them an excuse to move on down the road. To the circus clown Baptist church down the road. Amen. And that's where they go. And they're just miserable down there as they are anywhere else. Listen, you see how love and giving are connected. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He came down here and he gave his life for us. He came because he loved. He gave so he could purchase salvation for you in your place. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know who purchased your salvation? Now, everybody says, and I believe this too, salvation is free for you and me. But somebody had to pay. And Jesus Christ paid for it with His blood and dying on the cross and then buried and rose again. But then He said, okay, this is mine and I'll give it to you freely. What a thing. And we come to church and say we're Christians. Sold out, we'll see people saved. And we're so stinking stingy, we can't help nobody out. Amen. Salvation should make you a giver. After He came, He gave, purchased salvation for us. He offers it to us as a free gift. Man, we don't like to give free gifts. You know, I watch Baptists a lot. I don't know y'all, but I've been around Baptists for 40, 43 years now. And they usually put a string on it. When you give, folks, cut the strings, okay? And somebody told me one time, well, I want to make sure it's going to the right place. If I give money in the name of Jesus Christ and somebody messes up with it, they're cursed, not me. God will bless me by my heart. You can't always be checking everybody out. Say, well, I don't think he's... shut up! You know? And just give with a good heart. And you think the Lord Jesus Christ looked down here and said, ooh, that Mike Keenan's mean. He's a sinner. I ain't going to die for him. Oh, man, she's mean. I ain't going to die for her. He died for everybody. You know that? He didn't put a price on it. He didn't put a bunch of works on it. He died for everybody. It took me years before the Vietnamese government realized there was no profit in this work for me in Vietnam. I don't make nothing out of this. Matter of fact, it cost me a lot of money every year. And a lot of time away from my family and a lot of time that I, you know, could be doing other things. I'm 71 years old, folks. I could travel the world, never have to work again a day in my life. I can enjoy life. I can go on cruises every other week. I'm taken care of. I don't care. But I tell you, I've got a calling to help somebody and to give my life to serve Jesus Christ to see people saved. Listen, I'll tell you something else. If you read that in our text there, it's about being, do it soberly. You need to learn to think about things. Not just do things by the seat of your pants. I see so many people do that. They'll write some crazy number down. Mama get mad if I give too much. I told a boy today, I said, you need to cut them stinking apron strings off you, boy. You need to become a man and quit this mom and daddy stuff. You and God need to learn to get alone. And you got to learn to give by faith. You got to learn to trust God. You need to step out a little bit. Amen. Titus 2, verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We need to give ourselves over to living a balanced Christian life. I know that verse says all things are lawful. 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 24. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. We come to church, we ought to come in here and edify one another. Wouldn't you say? Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Boy, how much is that going on? You know, I heard the preacher and them talking today about Brother Wheat's wife over in Australia. I saw her when I was over there preaching. And y'all still support her. Ain't that a blessing? It should be done. Amen? And I mean, there's so many of God's children, the men's died, and they just sort of kicked the wife to the curb and just let her go without. Got them a new guy up there preaching for them and stuff, and just kicked the old one, the old mother that took care of their kids and helped raise their kids in church and loved them and prayed over them, just kick her to the curb. I'll tell you what, that is not Christianity, amen? You bunch of Baptists need to learn to help one another and take care of one another. You know that? I'm really sick of the way a lot of people treat one another. It also says, but all things edify not. We need to stop the stuff that doesn't edify and start doing the things that does edify. You need to build a testimony. but you need to give yourself over to do it, do just that. You got to, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Have you ever done that? A living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living sacrifice. God don't want your bulls and goats anymore. He wants you. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You're just doing what you're supposed to do. Listen, we just read all things are lawful, but all things edify not. So that puts you right back into the decision seat. You know that? I like it when kids make a decision to give. You can, okay, if you give 50 cents, God looks at your heart. He don't look at your, how much you give. You know, you just need to learn to do that. You need to learn to give. I mean, in my position in Vietnam with a local license, or a legal license, I've got a legal license from the federal government in the Socialist Republic of Vietnam from Hanoi. We are the only organization in Vietnam that got a legal license from the federal government that allows us to work directly with the people. All other organizations have to give their money to the government, and then the government dispenses it as they see fit. I don't do that. Our organization don't do that. I spend all the money, or Mir Duc won in Vietnam. I just don't do that. You say, who done that? God done that. God done that, man. We send $50,000 every 2 months to Vietnam. Amen? Every two months it costs us $50,000. People say, why you run so many meetings? $50,000 every 2 months. Don't come in from a bunch of cheap Baptists. Amen. I mean, you got to keep at it, or it's just going to fall. We just keep growing. We got 1,078 kids now. I mean, that's a bunch of orphan kids to worry about. So I get all these meetings. I get in some of these meetings with all the movers and shakers in Vietnam. You'd be surprised who I sit in meetings with over there. They're all sitting there, man. They're all high-ranking communist officials. Sitting there with their headphones on. I'm sitting there with my headphones on. And I'm looking around thinking, oh, yeah. Here's this hillbilly from nowhere sitting here with all these big shots. Amen? Man, it feels good to be the child of God sometimes. I'm probably the only child of God in there. And I think it's fun. Amen? I like it when we're out with all them movers and shakers and all these high-ranking communists and the cops and the high-ranking officials from the province. And I like it when we're sitting there and we're eating and they're all, say, hey, we're sitting at one end table, they're sitting at the other. And they say, hey, you mind if we drink? They want to drink that old bootleg rice liquor. I don't care if you drink. Drink, kill yourself, I don't care. And I sat down there with Duke, and all at once Duke says, would you all mind if I pray? He don't even let me answer. Oh, God, please, Lord, bless his food. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood. Man, he goes down to a three-point outline. Man, I tell you what, that's a blessing, man, to be around that kind of stuff. Only God could get me there and get me in that situation. But it comes through giving. You've got to give yourself. If you give yourself a living sacrifice, giving your wallet ain't going to be no hard deal. You know that? Hasn't God taken care of you? Huh? Hasn't God taken care of you a lot of times? You've never got overextended unless you're just plain dumb. Amen. And it's never on giving to missions. Of course, you blame it on that. Oh, I can't tithe this week. I had a guy tell me that one time. You know, he's a pastor now. He told me, preacher, he says, my wife's run up so many bills and credit cards are all maxed out. He said, I can't tithe. I said, oh, you can't. I said, I think I'd be afraid not to if I was you. You know what ended up? He lost his wife. She ended up leaving him. Amen? He lost his wife, lost his family. His kids hate his guts. He got that right real quick. Got remarried, got a church now. I guarantee he gives now. Amen? He's a big giver now. You can't afford not to give. God has you to give so that he can straighten your wagons out. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 100, verse 2, and this is on service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, service should be joyful. Amen. Service should make us glad. Amen. Not sad. You ought to come in here happy. Amen. Don't you hate to go to church? Man, I preach in church, and I know Pastor Keenan has too. I preach in churches. They all look like about 30-year Navy men sitting in there. They're all looking at you like they want to cut your throat. there ain't no kids in there or nothing, you know, just a bunch of old, mean, ugly people. And people say, man, preacher, you're ugly. I always tell them, you ever look at yourself in a stinking mirror? You ought to see what I'm preaching at. Amen? Some of them old hard looks on their face, and they ain't smile. They smile, they'd break all that makeup off. Amen? It'd start chipping off. Man, it is ugly. Ugly. I'm telling you, man, you ought to come in, you ought to be in a habit of smiling. You ought to be happy. Amen? You come to church, ain't it time to be sad? Go home. And you can be sad after your wife slaps you 3 or 4 times. Amen? Some of you so henpecked you have to roost at the end of the bed at night. Amen? That's why you cannot get involved in missions, because your wife won't let you. You got a problem. You know that? You need to get a hold of that thing. Now listen, Galatians 5. You all be glad not leave, won't you? Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You know, you can use your liberty for the flesh, or you can use it to serve each other. We are so afraid of being cheated. We're so afraid that some Christian's going to take advantage of it. You know what? If I could show you all the spiritual wounds this pastor has, if I could stand him up here and just show you the spiritual wounds that he's got and his dear wife has, only come here because of her. But if I could stand you up here and you could see that, you know how many holes would be in Pastor Keenan's back? Huh? How many people's ever? But he's still preaching. Amen. He's still happy. He still loves God. He still worships and praises the Lord. What's wrong with some of you? Somebody hurt your little feelings. Why, you little sissy. You know, you need to get over some of that stuff. Amen? Amen. We believe every rumor, every gossip, every lie, every misrepresentation about everybody around here. And then we get a bad attitude about each other. You know that? You need to quit that stuff. I talked to a guy today. He was trying to tell me something about that. I said, where'd you hear that from? Well, he said, so I said, that's secondhand information. Brother Jack Wood preached a message one time. Secondhand information. You need to quit that secondhand information stuff. You got a problem with somebody, go to them, get the thing right. So both of you can serve God. Get right. Be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Listen, 1 John 4:20. He says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now, I'm not saying this. I put it a different way, but this is pretty good. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? That's pretty straight, ain't it? You know, we're all going to cross each other's way sometimes. You know, preacher ain't always going to shake your hand. You know, he shouldn't have to hug your neck to get you to give to missions. You ought to give to missions because you're a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking from a missionary standpoint. And I'm speaking as a guy that doesn't need your money. That shocked you. Amen? I told the preacher, and he makes out a check, make it out of Vietnam ministry. I don't take that. That's my part of my mission giving. It shocked you what I give every year to missions. I guarantee you, you don't match up. The Lord has blessed me above and beyond the call of duty. One of them $50,000 a year I give. Amen? And I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you how God has blessed me. Because I listen to men like Pastor Keenan. I listen to men like Jack Woods. I listen to men like Homer Smith. I listen to those men. And I started out small. I didn't start out like that. I told my wife, let's give it all away. I'm sick of it every time I give it away. I mean, and you folks hear this, but you don't believe this. You think you can ever outgive God? Every time I dump it out, God gives me more, and I'm always trying to figure out how to get rid of it. We first went to Vietnam in 1992. The hardest thing for me was allowing people to serve me. Duke one time got really upset with some American visitor came over there, and he mocked Duke. I was sitting there in a chair. Pastor will verify this. I'm sitting there, you know, in my bed or in a chair somewhere. And Duke comes 4:30. I don't even look. I just hold my hand out, and the coffee goes in my hand. I take a drink. If it don't taste good, I throw it out. Give it to him. He makes another cup. Amen. You know what Duke's taught me? Duke irons my underwear. He lays my clothes out. He peels my stuff. He puts all my food on my plate. I think they would chew my food if I didn't watch them. They do everything for me. You know what Duke told me one time? He said the Lord told us to be servants one to another. Amen? We're supposed to serve one another. He said, that's my job. He said, that's my blessing. He said, that's where I'll get my rewards is being a servant. He said, I want to take care of you. I want to be a blessing to you. He got mad at that guy. He got irritated at him for mocking him. He said, that's what God's called me to do. We worked with communists who tried to kill me years ago. And you know what? Now I try to do everything I can to help them. I buy their kids bicycles. I'm just nice to them all the time. You know? One time I was on an airplane preacher. I preached out in Colorado, Greeley, Colorado. I preached a big conference out there and shut up. And at that dumb apple thing. And I was out there preaching, and there's a guy got up there and he corrected the word of God. Oh, I got mad. I was just out of Bible school. I was mad. He got out there and was trying to correct the King James Bible. And I used to be rough. I'm a nice guy. I'm not like Pastor Keenan. I used to be a real nice guy. I mean, I was mean and ugly. And I got up, old Dr. Dennis Brown, he's dead now. He knew what was going to happen. The place was packed with all these preachers and stuff. Brother Roberts, come on up here. Brother Roberts went to Dr. Ruckman school, and boy, and I got up, and I said, you know, I believe the King James Bible, King James 1611 Bible from cover to cover, including the cover, I believe it's genuine leather. And I said, I'll tell you something. I said, I think if anybody uses any other Bible and tries to correct the Bible, I think they're a queer. Man, we cut down on a crowd that day. Man, I was all upset. I ain't that way no more. I wouldn't say that no more. I'd say it another way. But I was on an airplane going flying home. I was all discouraged, man. And here we had, there was this girl over here. She was drinking. I'm in the middle, and they wheeled on this old guy and set him next to me. I never will forget this. And this guy was an old-time Methodist. And they come by with this cart, this liquor cart. And they said, sir, would you like something to drink to that old guy? He scared me. I was reading my Bible. He scared me half to death. I'll tell you something, young lady. That stuff has put many a soul in hell. You get that nasty, filthy stuff out of here. Wow. I was sitting there, man. I was about nervous. I was thinking of closing my Bible and hiding it, you know. But, man, he done put me on the spot. And then him and I got to talk. And, man, I'll tell you, they steered away from us. No more offers of liquor. We flew into Columbus first, and then it was going to go down to Cincinnati. And I never forget, they come to get him off the plane, and they got him right to the door of that plane, preacher. And all at once, because we'd been talking about the Lord and what I'd been doing and stuff, all at once he turned around, and he said, remember, young man, God will take care of you. And they're dragging him all the way down. God, well, all the day or all the way. And I heard him and I was falling over laughing. And every time I have a little bit of trouble, I think of that old-time Methodist preacher. God will take care of you. And God has. He's always taking care of me. It would shock you how God takes care of me. I feel like I am his mongoloid child sometimes. And I don't care. If you think I'm a monk, good, don't bother me. God loves me. I'll tell you, the last thing is surrender. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You got to do it. You got to lay your life. They tell me, I don't remember this, I was a baby, of course. They said my mom took me as a tiny baby. My mom got saved in an old dance hall. And she got saved. She really got saved. And when she had me, she took me. like Hannah did, Samuel, and laid me on an altar and said, God, he's yours. Whatever you want to do, he's all yours. I've thought often about that. You know, there come a time in my life after I'd gotten right and was trying to get things all figured out and got that victory over my stinginess and all that kind of stuff, that I went into a church and I laid myself back down on the altar and said, Lord, here I am. Mama said it happened. Nobody ever thought it would. Mama never, never, ever forgot that. Mama always told me, son, I gave you the God. Whatever happens in your life, you're God's. If he wants to take you home right now, he's in you. You're in his hands. You know what most of you need to do? And not worrying about you giving so much. If you lay your life on the altar, a living sacrifice, you will double what you're going to put on that thing tonight. You will? I told you I used to be the stingiest guy in the church. Then I told you, I'm competitive, Brother Matt. I'm competitive. I ain't as crazy as you, but I'm competitive. I'm not going to let you outgive me. I find out, I ask the guy that takes care of the money. I said, anybody in here give more than me? Oh, yeah, there's this. How much? Over me. I said, I'm going to give a dollar more than him. I ain't going to let nobody outgive me, man. I'm going to give it. I determined. I ain't going to let nobody outgive me to missions either. I'm going to be the biggest giver. How in the world could I ask you to help Vietnam if I'm not willing to sacrifice and help Vietnam? I got to do that too. Amen? Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. That one word bugs us, and we pull back at that suffering. And we never go any farther. We can't get settled because we haven't suffered anything yet. When you make your New Year resolution, what do? You starve yourself. You work out. You know, you do everything you can do to get it off. 3 months later, you're right back to the same mess you was in before. Some of you are the same way with your mission giving. Amen? Yeah, you start out good. Woo, man, you get the victory in the mission revival meeting. But then you start getting back up off that altar. You laid your life down a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. But a few little old things of suffering come along. Then you get back up off that altar and you're right back into the flesh again. And you can't do it. Preacher, I can't do it. Listen, when you go into the army, you first go to basic training. Then it's advanced training. And then you go into the real world. Amen? We went to jump school. You go to jump school, it's ground week. And then it's tower week. And then it's jump week. And you're standing in that door. You've suffered all those first 2 weeks. And you're getting ready to jump out of the suffering of all that prior training. You're getting ready to jump out of that airplane and do what you're prepared to do. What you've been trained to do. Why do you think the preacher's been preaching and training you all this time? It's time to lay your life on the altar. Amen. Let's bow. Come on, get on this altar. Lay down here and just give your life to God. Get it. Whatever you're thinking of doing, do more. You say, I can't. You can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do it. Shock your pastor to death. Shock him. Show him your faith by what you're going to do. Don't come down here just bow a knee for a show. Come down here serious. Mean it.